recording. We always, I do one here as well, but we always do a recording in case there's any controversy afterwards. We can play it back and we have a record of it.
And today's call is now being recorded.
Thank you, Kathy.
You're welcome.
Okay, I'll start a little bit early for the official introduction. Hello, everyone. This is Tony Hutchison, VK5ZAI, your moderator for today. Through the help of amateur radio volunteers and the crew on the ISS, we soon hope to establish radio contact with the International Space Station as it flies more than 380 kilometres above the Earth over Australia. This is all accompanied with ARIS, amateur radio on the International Space Station. The ISS is currently flying over the islands to the north of Australia, whizzing along at nearly 28,000 kilometres per hour. Contact today will be performed using the ARIS Telebridge Network, a worldwide network of amateur radio ground stations that enables students to contact the ISS. The audio of today's contact will also be available live around the world via amateur radio echo link networks handled by Bob, VK4DA, in Queensland, Australia. ARIS is a consortium of volunteers of nine nations that develop and operate the amateur radio equipment on board the International Space Station. Those that support ARIS are the American Radio Relay League, the Worldwide AMSAT Amateur Radio Satellite Corporations, the Canadian Space Agency, the European Space Agency, the Japanese Space Agency, and Roscosmos, the Russian Space Agency, and of course NASA. The amateur radio ground station that will establish contact with the IS today is VK4KHZ, located in Glendon, Queensland, and operated by Shane Lind. We have about 5 minutes to go now. Our link-up today will be with the students attending the Peninsula Grammar School in Victoria, Australia. And we've asked Principal Stuart Johnston to please tell us a little about the school and the students taking part today. Thanks, Stuart. Are you there, Stuart?
Yeah. Actually, sorry, I need him to... Yeah. My apologies. The guys on the space station want to hear you. Yeah.
Thank you, Tony. At Peninsula Grammar School, we believe the pursuit of personal excellence is the right of each child in our school. Our school is the Mornington Peninsula's premier co-educational school, offering about 1,400 students from kindergarten to year 12 the chance to learn, grow and flourish. Our school is located 55 kilometres from Melbourne, and is situated on 80 acres, providing a spacious, tranquil campus for our students overlooking Port Phillip Bay. Our school also offers boarding facilities for boys and girls, providing a home away from home for our Indigenous and international students. United by the common core values of integrity, personal excellence, stewardship, community spirit, co-educational learning and Christian faith, our teachers and students of Peninsula Grammar are active members of our community, embracing and engaging in 21st century learning. Each child at our school is known for who they are and the dreams they aspire to and achieve. We have an excellent record of academic achievement, a testament to our investment in the highest quality teaching, exceptional state-of-the-art facilities and learning spaces, and our innovative approaches to learning. It has just gone 9 p.m. here in Mount Eliza. We are in the heart of winter, with tonight's weather quite cold and overcast. We are delighted that 15 of our students will be connecting via radio link shortly to the International Space Station. These 15 students have been chosen from our school-wide competition. I congratulate our students as they are about to embark on an incredible experience. I know you're all extremely excited to ask a question each of astronaut Nick Haig very soon. I wish you all the very best and enjoy. Thank you very much, Tony.
Thank you, Stuart. And I did have the privilege of meeting some of your students here a few weeks ago when they attended the Generations in Jazz Festival in Mount Gambier. Now, to Shane in Glendon. Before the contact begins, please tell us about your station, where you are, and how you'll handle the conversation today. Thanks, Shane.
Thank you, Tony. Well, first things first, I'm located in Glendon, which is in Queensland, Australia, obviously. We're about 200 kilometres inland from the city of Mackay. The equipment that we'll be using today, as far as the amateur radio equipment goes, is we have two Yaesu FT847s, a primary and a secondary, as the main transmitter, driving an amplifier by Linear Amp UK, which are fed into tracking antennas, which will track the International Space Station within about 1 degree of accuracy. Now, our pass today will be a fairly high pass, and I expect that we'll have some fairly deep signal fades throughout that, of which I will manage from this side by switching to various antennas to try and combat that signal fade. Now, it's really important at the end of your question, students, if you can please say the word over, because that's my cue to switch between transmit and receive. And that's about it, Tony, so I'll pass it back to you.
Thanks, Shane. Now we have around 1 minute, a little bit over 1 minute, before the space station comes over the horizon. Remember, what we are doing on Aris is an experiment. So we can never tell the results, positive or negative, until the experiment is over. And students, don't forget to say over at the end of your question. In about 1 minute, the station should be coming over Glendon. Shane, it's all yours, and good luck.
Okay, thank you. Yes, Robert, if you can have the first student ready. So what I'm about to do, my antennas have just tracked into position and will lock onto the space station in a few seconds once it comes up over the horizon. So I'm going to start calling. Don't be too concerned if you don't hear anything right from the start, but I'll keep...
Victor, Kilo 4, Kilo Hotel,
really?
This is November Alpha 1, Sierra, Sierra. How copy?
Good morning, November Alpha 1, Sierra, Sierra. This is Victor Kilo, 4 Kilo, Hotel Zulu. Nick, I can hear you loud and clear, coming through quite well. Nick, we have the students from Peninsula Grammar in Melbourne, Australia, standing by for you with the first question. Please go ahead, Peninsula Grammar, with your first question.
This is Olivia. Although you're in quarantine before going to space, if someone was to get sick or injured in space, is there always a qualified first aid person when it happens? Over.
Yes, Olivia, absolutely. We all receive medical training. I'm actually fortunate enough to have a doctor as one of the astronauts up here. So we're prepared to take care of each other should we get sick or if someone gets hurt. And we also have a team of physicians on the ground that are only a radio call away if we need extra help. Over.
This is Dakota. How long will it take you to recover, and will you miss the space station when you come down? Over.
Dakota, we spend 45 days in rehabilitation, but some parts of our body won't return back to what they were before flight until almost 6 months after I land, so it takes a long time to recover. And will I miss the space station? I can tell you that I'm going to miss the view, absolutely. It's amazing to be able to look down on the Earth. Over.
This is Franklin. What is your favorite thing to do in space? Over.
Franklin, I mentioned I love to look out the window and look at the Earth and discover new places that I never knew existed on our planet. It's amazing to be able to see that. The other thing I love doing is floating. Everything here floats. So I do somersaults and flips and twists, and it's like I'm 12 years old again. And I get to play with my food. I practice eating my food with no hands, just trying to grab the spoon full of food out of the air with my mouth. Over.
This is Hamish. What was your first thought during liftoff when you traveled to the space station? Over.
Hamish, it was one of I've been working my whole life to get to this moment. lots of years of dedicated hard work and training and all the people that helped me along the way to get me prepared for that moment. And I just wanted to make sure that I did the best that I could and perform like I needed to in order to be successful and have a great launch. Over.
This is Chloe. What kind of science experiments are you doing? Over.
It's Chloe. We're doing all kinds of experiments. Some of our experiments are to try to test how things behave in microgravity when things float all around us. We try to look for new materials and new material properties. We look for how biology changes on orbit, too. We grow plants and yeast and fungus, and we try to see how those things change. We look at their DNA and see how it changes because of its exposure to microgravity and radiation environment of low Earth orbit. We look at all those things and so many more. In fact, during my mission, we're going to do over 300 different experiments. Over.
This is Jasmine. Why did you choose to be an astronaut? Over.
Jasmine, I think I started dreaming of being an astronaut when I was your age. I'd look up at the night sky and I'd see all those stars out there and I'd see the Milky Way galaxy and I'd wonder what was out there. And I just had this urge inside of me to try to go and discover, explore, look for new things. And so that's when the spark happened. And then as I grew up professionally, I started to see that being an astronaut and the types of things that astronauts do were something that I really enjoyed doing. Over.
This is easy. How do you use the internet on board the space station off? Over.
Yes, Evie, we use the internet just like you do on the ground, but ours may be a little more complicated because we don't have a wire like you might have going to your building to give you the internet. Instead, we have a series of satellites that circle the globe, and our radio signal from the space station to the satellites and then the satellites back down to the ground connects us to the internet. That makes our connection a little slow, but it's still good enough to be able to find out what's going on the Earth. Over.
This is Samuel. When you were first selected to go on the ISS in 2013, were you thinking about how much your research might affect the future on Earth, and did that help you cope with leaving your family behind, getting into a spacecraft with people you don't really know, and possibly risking your life? Over.
Samuel, that's a great question. It's a pretty deep question, right? So I'd say that I got involved because I really believe in what we're doing. And that's been something that I've done my whole life is I've tried to work on things that I really believe in. And I believe in the research that we're doing up here. I believe that it is going to have a big impact on those on the ground and our ability to go in deeper into space. It's going to help change humanity. So that does make it easier to cope with the separation from family. But it's never really easy to be away from family. And, you know, that's something that my career in the military has taught me through deployments and being away from the family. It makes it crystal clear what's important to you. Friends and family and those that you love. That's absolutely important. In terms of possibly risking my life with people I don't know, I've got to say, I know the people on the space station really well. We're friends, and we've been trained together for years prior to launching. So, yeah, I didn't launch with strangers. I launched with friends. Over.
This is Alicia. What training did you go through to become an astronaut? Over.
We actually have to train on so many things. So the things you can think of pretty easily, like how to do a spacewalk or work the robotic arm or maybe how to fly a jet. We do those things, but we do more. How to fix the systems on the space station, whether it's a cooling system or an electrical system or any kind of ventilation system. We have to be able to take care of the space station and understand how that works. But then we also have to prepare to do the science experiments, and so we need to know a little bit about each type of science. So there's so many things we have to do. I already mentioned that we get medical training, so I know how to help provide some treatment in case somebody gets hurt. We also get dental training, just in case somebody gets a cavity and we need to help them out. So we learn lots of stuff. So if you enjoy learning things, an astronaut's a pretty good profession. Over.
This is Charlie. Have you ever had a major issue with any of the technology on board the space station? Over.
Charlotte, absolutely. We're up here testing things every day, and part of testing things is you don't know if it's going to work. And so we try, and sometimes we fail. But we're always learning, whether it's through failure or through successes, we're building our base of knowledge about how everything works up here. And the more we know, the better prepared we're going to be for the future. So yes, things fail all the time up here, but that's part of the plan. Over.
This is Will. What is currently being done to try to help your life in space become easier? Over.
Well, Will, there's two parts to that. Part of it's the psychological support. So being able to provide us connectivity so that we can talk with our friends and family and help minimize the impact from being away from them for such a long period of time. But part of it is evolving the space station itself. I just spent a better part of a week helping install a water storage system that's going to minimize the amount of time that we have to do it and let the ground help remotely control it. So it makes our life a little bit easier on board. Over.
2 minutes before loss of signal.
This is Jackson. How has your understanding of the universe changed now that you have seen it from space? Over.
Jackson, the universe is gigantic. I look down on the Earth and I see how big the Earth is. And then I look at how small each one of us are. And I look at the area of the Earth that we populate, and it's fairly small. What it's made me realize is that we're all connected, whether you're in Australia or you're in the United States. We may be far apart from each other, but we're all connected. We're all part of humanity, and we all have to work together to make the world a better place. Over.
This is Ava. What do you miss most about Earth? Over.
Ava, that's easy. Friends and family. You know, if I was going to get into more tangible tangible things of everyday life, maybe certain foods like pizza. Over.
This is Josh. Can you have baths or showers in space? Over.
Josh, you can, but we have to use a sponge. So it's like a sponge bath or a towel bath. We can't spray water on ourselves because it floats too and goes everywhere. It's a huge mess. Over.
This is Ollie. Did the Air Force help you with what you were doing in space now? Over.
Ollie, absolutely. The Air Force. I've been in the Air Force, and I still am in the Air Force. I've been in the Air Force for 21-plus years, and it has made me who I am today. It helped prepare me to be an astronaut. It gave me all of the skills, life skills and professional skills that I need. It taught me how to be someone of integrity and how to work hard as part of in order to be part of something larger than myself and accomplish something really big.
Okay, everyone, we've about lost the signal from the space station. A big applause to Nick, please. NA1SS, this is Victor Kilo, 4 Kilo Hotel Zulu. Thanks very much, Nick. We're now closing the link. 7-3s, and thank you.
Well, thanks, Shane. Ladies and gentlemen, we've just shared a moment in history. Amateur radio station VK4KHZ, operated by Shane Lynn, contacted astronaut Nick Haig, KG5TMV, aboard the International Space Station, who spoke with students at the Peninsula Grammar School in Victoria, Australia. Now, for the international volunteer team of ours, including amateur radio satellite corporations around the world, American Radio Relay League, Canadian Space Agency, European Space Agency, Japanese Space Agency, and NASA, this is Tony Hutchison, amateur radio operator VK5ZAI in Kingston, South Australia, sending my greetings to you all in the amateur radio terms 7-3s, which means best wishes. Thanks very much, everyone, and it's back to you, Robert.
All right, well, thank you very much to Tony and to Shane for helping with the link this evening. And now it's back to the students and staff here at the college, and they're going to present the students with some certificates of recognition of the contact made this evening. Over.
I would just like to thank especially Tracy, who put a lot of work into this, and although we haven't actually met, we have spoken or corresponded many times on the internet, which is great, and to everyone at the Peninsula Grammar School, and especially the students for being so well prepared and excellent voices. It was great, and also to Robert and Jack, our amateur radio team, for helping us all out, and of course to Shane, who's done his usual magnificent job handling the tele bridge. Thanks very much, everyone, and I will say good night. And Kathy, you can stop the recording now. Thank you.